should be our motivating.
By the way, we're taping back there, and the camera's back there. And now, if you want to get on YouTube while I'm preaching, you walk down that aisle right there, and you'll have a potential having 6 billion people to see your face. And so I just thought I'd let everybody know that we're moved the camera back there. We got us a new camera. It's a new digital thing, and it's very strong, very clear. And so we doing it back there now instead of up here. But I just thought I'd let you know, if you need to get up, if you want to be on YouTube while I'm preaching, go that way. If you want to avoid it, go down the big aisle there. All right. Romans chapter 5. Let's see if they'll edit that one. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In verse 2 it says, by whom also we have access by faith into grace. No, it's this grace, wherein we stand, our standing. And you've heard me many times talk about our standing and our state. And I look at it like our state is where, like, we live in this state. It's where we're here. It's our life, our state. And that thing can change. One time we might be on fire for God, and another time our state of it might be we're just by cold as a cube of ice. I mean, so our state can change, but your standing will never change. And your standing has to do with you being in Christ. Your state has to do with your attitude about that standing. And it has to do with that grace that we talked about that would motivate us, and the love of Christ that constrains us, and Christ's love that he had for us. Look down with me, and we looked at it, and y'all sung about it. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Folks, that's grace. For somebody that would die for ungodly people, that had no strength, that was weak in the flesh, that could not save themselves, could not bring any praise or any glory to God in their flesh, and yet God saves them. That's grace. Look at our life that we were. We might have not been murderers, we might have not been drunkards, or we might have not, but yet we have that same old nature that the drunkard has. We have the same old nature that the murderer has. We have the same old nature that the drug addict has. We have the same old nature that all men have. And there's none good, no, not one, in that state. And they're standing. Where is the world's standing? That their standing is outside of Christ. Their standing is in Adam, where that in Adam is death, condemnation. Look in chapter 5 in Romans, you'll find there, notice verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, it just moved into the world. Death did, because of Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, when did that happen? That happened in that garden. That happened in when Adam went to that with Eve, his wife, and they took of that fruit. And Adam took, and the Bible said that she gave to her husband who was with her. And him being not deceived, and when he took of that fruit, it passed death upon all men. And all men became condemned in the eyes of God. You are a sinner today, and we were sinners, and I was a sinner, and I'm still a sinner. God never got rid of that old sinful nature that battles me and haunts me and causes me to do the things that I don't want to do. And the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing them because it's a struggle. And that's the life that we're in. But thank God, there is no condemnation. Look in chapter 8. Hang on to chapter 5. In chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, what is in the context walking after the flesh? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the principle of sin, it brings forth death. The principle of the law, you know what a law, he's not talking about so much the Mosaic law. It's like the law of gravity. It's a principle that's always there. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The principle is, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have life. And if you're still in Adam, you're in death. And you're condemned. And there is condemnation upon you. Look back, hang on to Romans and turn back to John and look what Jesus said about the matter in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, and notice in verse 36. In John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He's condemned. It's not a matter of whether you do good or not, whether you're condemned. It's not a matter of whether you're good or whether you're bad. You're condemned because of the state, your standing. Your standing is you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. And if you're in Christ, the spirit of the law of being in Christ is life. And the spirit of being the law of being in Adam is condemnation and death. And that's what he said there back in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, he says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, and that would be the law that God gave. You cannot keep that law for your righteousness. Why? You are living in a weak body. You're living in the weakness of your flesh. Your flesh cannot keep that law. We can't even keep the first one, commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Ain't nobody in here does that. I told a preacher one time, I said, you can't, he's leaning toward he hadn't sinned in so long. And he didn't, he done got to the place where he didn't feel like he sinned. I said, well, and he's a married man. I said, well, you done broke the first commandment. And then the second one is likened to it. The Lord said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And who in here loves your neighbor like you do you? I want to be your neighbor. Kevin's shaking his head because he's my neighbor. So this preacher was sitting there and he's in my house. So I said, well, you don't love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. I said, in fact, you don't love him like a person that's not married. Oh, you can see the blood begin to flow. And I said, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or 7. Have you ever read that? Look over in chapter 7. Hang on to Romans. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, don't tell me I don't love God as much as somebody who's not married. And I said, well, do you do things with your wife? Look at what he says in verse 32. 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to who? The Lord. How he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. How he may please who? Now you can't please them both at the same time. All the time. I'm not going to get into detail about this. But there are times that you are with your spouse, whether male or female, and you're loving and caring and doing or going places or whatever, and you ain't got your mind on the Lord. Right or wrong? Well, see, you don't love him with all your heart all the time. You know what he did? June was sitting over there, and he went. And he had my Bible. Put it over there. Got up. Never said a word. Walked out. And I looked over and June's going. Folks, we're in a body of flesh that bothers us, that torments us, that gets sick, that has aches and pains, and that body of flesh that keeps us from our state being that we're always doing the things of the Lord, but our standing, that body of flesh, never ever makes it change. That's grace. You see, my old flesh can hinder me, but it can never change my standing. What is my standing? I'm in Christ. I might not feel like tomorrow. I might feel like terrible. I might get up with pain. I might get up and headache. I might do this or do that. But I never change my standing by how I feel. I'm in Christ. I'm there by faith. And I might not do what I want to do for the Lord tomorrow because of that. I might go into the study. I might try to read. And there are times that I just can't. And there are times that my old body don't. And there's times that I just don't want to. You ever been that way? But my standing, I'm in Christ. Praise God for that. and your state, your everyday walking around, day by day can change. And you, that change has nothing to do. You know, in the Old Testament, when the body touched something, they'd be unclean. And it made their soul unclean. It was, their soul was like it was attached to the body, and they'd be unclean, and they'd have to go wash themselves, and they'd be unclean until even. If they touched a dead person, they were unclean. And they had to watch what they touched. But God fixed it so that what your flesh touches has no bearing on your soul, your spirit, your inner man. Why? He created in you a new man, and you are in there, and it's circumcised by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, it's not attached to your flesh. So that you're not contaminated by something filthy. And your standing will never change. What is your standing in Christ? Look in Ephesians. Ephesians. Notice in chapter 1. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That is our standing in Christ. We're free from all the condemnation. We're holy and we're without blame before Him. God could never blame me for any of my wrongdoing. He can never blame me or condemn me for what I do in the flesh. And that don't mean you say, well, I believe that, I'll just do anything. No, if you believe that, you'd love Him enough that you wouldn't do it. You'd want to honor Him for it. That He's not holding you count guilt. And He's not going to bash you in the head. People talk about the chastening of the Lord. You know how the Lord chastens people in the dispensation of grace that's in the body of Christ? He does it through the Word of God. He corrects people. You know how He corrected me from the religious system? I heard the Word of God. I seen the Word of God. I began to look at the Word of God, and the Word of God correct me. And that's what He says. Look in Timothy, in 1 Timothy. Notice in chapter, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Verse 16. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. There's chastening. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is what corrects us. But folks, people don't believe the Word of God no more. They don't read it. They don't believe it. God says to the Ephesians, thou shalt not lie. Lie not one to another. So what are you not? You're not to lie. Steal no more. You're not to steal. And on the thing goes about this thing. Folks, your standing and your state are two different things. Your state will never change your standing where you people say, oh, you can lose your salvation. You can't. They're looking at the state. They don't even know anything about the standing of in Christ. I'm in Christ. And God can never blame me again. Why? There is no condemnation to them who walk, that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. Walking according to the flesh is trying to gain in your flesh what Jesus Christ accomplished for you on the cross. Praise God, He did the work. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Even that faith is not, He provided that. It's His faith that saved me. It's His work that went to the cross. God blamed Him in my stead. And God delivered up His Son in my place. And God judged His Son. And when He's judging His Son, He's judging me. As He brought death to Christ, it wasn't for Christ to sin. He had no sin. He was born of a virgin, lived a pure life, kept the law. God looked down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Only man ever walked in shoe leather that God could say that about was Jesus Christ. No gal found in his mouth. He never had a wrong thought. He never said a wrong word. Ever the words and the doctrines was the Father's. And he represented the Father so that in so much that when you walked up to Jesus Christ, and it was like the veil of in the temple, and that veil separated Moses from God, and Moses would walk up to that veil and God would speak to Moses on the other side of that veil. It's as though God was in Christ and you walked up to Jesus Christ. The only thing that separated God Almighty from the man he's talking to is that veil of flesh, and there he is. And he lived a sinless, pure, righteous life and went to the cross. He had no wages of sin to pay for, but yet he died. He's dying your death. Thank God for that. And now I can say I'm without blame. So I'm blamey for a lot of things. God can't. And aren't you glad He's the judge? I'm without blame. I'm holy. Not my flesh, but me. I'm holy. Folks, that ought to make you want to love Him. Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, without blame. We're going to go back to Romans. I should have told you to hold on to it. But look in Romans chapter 5. I did say 2 Corinthians, didn't I? I'm looking at it. Y'all there? But I did say Romans chapter 5, too, didn't I? Well, I'm confused. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Lord. Verse 13, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." 4, and here's my verse. "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." And we were all dead to God. And He died. And here we are, death. Sinners. Ungodly. Without any strength to make ourselves pleasing to God. That love that He had, God commending His love toward us, that He would go to a cross and be turned over by into wicked hands and by men that are full of a devil, and there be ridiculed, and there be beat, and there be suffer the pains and the agony of physical being physically nailed to a cross. And not just physically, but spiritually, they're being separated from God Almighty. What made him cry out so much on the cross? Was it the nails? No. He never said nothing about the nails. He never said nothing about the crown of thorns. He never said anything about them pulling his beard out and spitting in his face. But what did he say when God turned his back upon him? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Father forsook his only Son on that cross. Why? He could not look upon what he became on that cross. And then he steps out in the death in faith. And he goes down. And he goes into hell. And he's in that death, which is called in the Bible the second death. And it has to do with losing the identity for what God has created you for. And he's there in agony, and he's praying to the Father. And God, it's enough. I'm satisfied. And he comes up. And I don't know how long he stayed in that situation, whether it was half a day. I don't know. But I know he comes out. And I know while he's down there, he's preaching to the fallen angels. He's in there with them. I would imagine he's telling them, my Father will deliver me. And he goes out of there, and no doubt in my mind, he probably goes over into Abraham's bosom. And there proclaims victory. Someday, and then on that morning of the resurrection, he comes up. In my mind's eyes, I can see him just come up, and he's standing there, and the grave closes there. And he walks over and takes the napkin off, folds it up, takes it, puts it over here. Why would he do that? So they could see that nothing's in there. And I can see him go through the rock wall and he comes out. And he tells the angels, roll away that stone. And he rolled away the stone. He was all, no doubt he's already out. Why did he do that? So they could get in to see. Do you realize that our Lord is the only captain of our salvation? The Lord is our leader. He's our God. Do you realize he's the only God that ever rose from the dead? You could go Muhammad. He's still in the ground somewhere. His bones deteriorated. He has a grave. Buddha, all of the other religions of the world. But our Lord, you can't find. He's not there. You say, well, what if somebody come up and said they found the bones of Jesus? Wouldn't change me one bit. Why? I have the proof right here. That would be the spirit of Antichrist that 1 John talked about, that confessed not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. And that will happen. But it shouldn't bother the Christian. Why? They have the Word of God. They were there when God saved them. They know the peace of God that passes all understanding. You have peace if you're saved. You have assurance that He is your Savior. Not because of what you did. Not because you walked an aisle. Not because you were baptized. No, no, no. You have that assurance that He's your Savior because you believe that He died for you. It's something that's personal. And that love should motivate us. It ought to cause us to get up on Sunday morning and be glad that we're coming to church. We're coming to an assembly. We're going to get to hear what Jesus done for us. We're going to get to see other believers that are saved like I'm saved. And I'm going to get to talk to them. I'm going to get to see them. It should be a privilege. It ought to be a joy because of His love for us. Look at us. Look at me. I mean, look at us. Nobody in here deserved what Jesus Christ did for us. But He did it anyway. I'm holy. I'm without blame. There's no condemnation to me. Look back in Romans 8 and I'm going to let you go. See, I got 7 more minutes. See, you say, why'd I do that? Well, my watch battery died. So, Brian and June says, use your phone. Didn't know I had that on that phone. So I punched it in. There it was. And so I could have put an hour, but I didn't. I put about 40 minutes. I still got 6 left. Romans chapter 5. Now don't come up to me and say, how about dropping it down to 30? I'm just going on with you. I'm sorry, go to chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? And these things would be the things of verse 30. It'd be the things in a lot of the whole chapter. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He has 5 questions that you need to answer. Number 1, if God be for you, who could be against you? You know what the answer is? No one. Who can change? What he's saying is, who can change God's mind about you? after His Son did all He did for you and His love that He had for you, and then He sends somebody by to preach the gospel to you, and you hear that He died for you, and you trust what He did for you, and He saves you. Who could be against you? Who can change God's mind? Verse 32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? The all things is not a new Cadillac, as I heard a man say. It's not a new house. The all things is the all things that He's talking about in the chapter. It's the all things, Him glorifying us. How shall He not freely give us all things? He can't. He has blessed you with how many blessings? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Folks, whatever Christ has, you have it too. There is no more to give you except what He's given His Son. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. In fact, hang on to Romans, turn over to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Verse 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now watch it. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, all things present or things to come, all are whose? Yours. Now, do you believe that? Do you know why Paul could say that? He's saying everything that I got, everything that Peter's got, everything that Apollos has got, everything anybody else has got, if they're in Christ, you have it too. You've got it all, folks. You have whatever Christ has got. He loved you enough to go and die for you and to send somebody by to preach the good news to you and have you an opportunity to you to accept it. And then He saves you, seals you in a body and with other believers and gives you everything that He has. Now, what more could you want? And we walk around so much sad and depressed. And I don't know why this happening to me. You're in a body of flesh, but you are an heir of God. Your state can change, but your standing never will. Romans 8 says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. You know what justification is? It's simple, just as you've never sinned. You have the same status as if you've never, ever committed a wrongdoing in God's eyes. You're justified. Then it says there in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. And that intercession has to do with Him being there. It's not the Lord running before the throne every time one of them sins. Well, He'd just be all the time. I'm making intercession. No. The intercessor is, He's there. God just looks over. He's there. He's witness. The intercessor is, I didn't lay everything to His charge. everything's complete in Him. And the Bible says ye are complete in Him. Now the question I want to ask you in this room, are you in Him? Have you put your salvation into His hands? When we say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying turn everything over to Him as far as your salvation. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If what He did on the cross when He died for me is not enough to keep me out of hell, then I'm going to hell. And there ain't a thing I can do about it. There's not a service, there's not an act that I can perform in this flesh that would change God's mind. If that ain't enough, you're looking at a man that don't have any hope. But it was enough. It was enough, and God satisfied with me because He satisfied with His Son, and He proved it by raising Him from the dead and setting Him at His own right hand. And there He's the witness that someday I'm going to be with Him. So, when did you trust Him? And if you haven't, if you hadn't never really seen yourself lost, and if you hadn't never in that state of mind, then do it today and write it down. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you.